But I want you to be free from concern. Undistracted devotion to the Lord. We don't much like interruptions, do we? But have you noticed that our lives flow seemingly from one interruption, a constant stream of unending interruptions, detours, intermissions, commercials? There is just so much to distract our attention away from the very thing that we want to do. It happens to us in the business world. It happens to us in church. It happens to us in sermon preparation whenever we're preparing a meal or we're on our way to visit someone. Interruptions come consistently. But there is a place where interruptions are the most deadly of all. And that place is in the spiritual realm. If we become distracted in our devotion to Jesus Christ, then the detour which we have taken will ultimately lead to our downfall, to misery and unhappiness. We need to gain an undistracted devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what I want to think about tonight. And that is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 to the end of the chapter. I know he is talking a lot about getting married and young daughters before they get married, as well as widows. Yet his main focus is not particularly those practical aspects. The main point and focus of what he is saying is this. Friends, you and I need to gain an undistracted commitment to Jesus Christ. That is what he is after. Now, there are at least three ways that we can do this based on what Paul says in this chapter. And I want to concentrate on those three ways. The first thing he says primarily is simply this: remain content. In verse 20, he says this: let each man remain content, remain in that condition in which he was called. Look at verse 24. Brethren, let each man remain with God in that condition in which he was called. In verse 26, I think then that this is good in view of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. And then look at verse 40. But in my opinion, she is happier if she remains as she is. So what he is saying here is that the first lesson, the first way to gain an undistracted devotion to Christ is to remain content. Now that means several things, one of which is this: don't change your vocation simply because you are a Christian or you have become a Christian. Look at verse 21 and 22. Were you called a slave while a slave, do not worry about it. But if you are able also to become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is the Christ slave. What he says is that he's reflecting the problem at Corinth, namely that Christianity was revolutionary in this Greek community. So that when converts were made and they heard about the gospel and they learned that they should be making changes in their lives, they thought that they also should leave their secular vocations. But the point that Paul is making here is that your job is not keeping you from finding purpose and meaning and joy in your life. Your job can never make you discontent. There is only one person who has the power to make you discontent in your vocation, and that is you. So Paul says to slaves, even to slaves, how despicable a vocation that is. He says, be content where you are. So don't change your vocation simply because you're Christian. You can gain contentment in that vocation. Now perhaps some of you who are in vocations that are non-Christian or are Christian or anti-Christian, you need to think about changing your vocation. But this is the implication here is where there is no evil in that particular vocation. But secondly, don't be too quick to change your circumstances, because circumstances cannot really make you a happy person. Verses 18 and 19. Paul says, was any man called already circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Verse 19, circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. But notice the last of verse 19. What matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. In other words, he is pointing out again that your circumstances do not in themselves have the capacity to make you happy. Only God can make you a happy person, whatever your circumstance is. The world says to a young businessman, you need to climb the ladder. You need to be moving up, gaining more responsibility, more significance. You deserve it. You need to change your circumstances in life. Move on to where there is greener, where the grass is greener. But the Bible says, remain where you are. Are you making an adequate living, Christian? Do you have time for Bible study, for attendance at church, to be in the Lord's house during the week as well as on Sunday? Do you have time to fellowship with other Christians? Then I want to ask you, why do you want to change? Do you think it's going to be better than what you have now? I've already told you, I think, about Martin Luther giving the illustration about the woman who prayed that the mayor would leave the city in Germany because he was such a wicked man. And the lady prayed, you know, oh God, deliver us from that wicked mayor. And finally, he died, and another one came along, and he was worse than the last. And so she kept praying until finally she prayed, oh Lord, let him remain just where he is. Because every time the situation changed, things got worse. Calvin has something to say about this matter of Christian contentment. And this is a great book, by the way. I used to give it out to all the newly elected elders that I had the privilege of training in an elder training class. It's called The Golden Booklet of the True Christian Life. It's based upon the Institute's Book 3, which is the practical aspect of Calvin's teaching. And it happens to be also the first part of the Institutes that was translated into English by a lawyer in London. Listen to what he says about this theme. We're thinking about undistracted devotion. We're thinking about remaining content where you are. Calvin says, be faithful in your calling. For he knows that our human mind burns with restlessness, that it is swept easily hither and thither, and that its ambition is to embrace many things at once is insatiable. Therefore, to prevent that general confusion being produced by our folly and boldness, he has appointed to everyone his particular duties in different spheres of life. And then he says, every individual sphere of life, therefore, is a post assigned him by the Lord, that he may not wander about in uncertainty all the days of his life. He who regards his calling will never keep the straight path, or disregards his calling, will never keep the straight path in the duties of his work. And besides, there will be no consistency in the various parts of life. You understand what he's saying? The need to remain where you are, to accept your situation, to accept your circumstances as a post assigned to you by the Lord. I could remember some time ago praying about a particular situation in my life that I wanted changed. I had wanted it changed for several years. And one night on my knees in prayer to God, I was able by His grace to really gain peace about that situation. I told the Lord, Lord, it's really not that situation change that I want. But what I really want is You in my life. Whether or not that situation ever changes. And so I rose in great peace about that circumstance, feeling that God had provided what I needed most, and that was Himself, regardless of my situation and this problem I was dealing with. The very next day, after I had gained a perspective on the situation, the very next day, what I had desired and wanted for the past couple of years was handed me right in my lap. God wanted to say to Langston Haygood, get your eyes off of all of that, off of that particular situation and circumstance and problem. Be willing to accept it as I've given it to you. That is the lesson that you need to learn, boy. And when I learned it, God was ready to change it, but not until I was willing to accept it. Remain where you are. That is what Paul says in this particular chapter. A parallel to that is to be fully committed to what you're doing in life. I suspect that many do not like their jobs or their circumstances in life simply because you're not really committed to what God has given you to do. You are murmuring, you are discontent, you are complaining, you're always wanting a different situation than what you have, rather than being 100% committed to that thing so that God can use you in it or either change it. But friend, it isn't until you're able to thank Him for it and be committed to living life in it that you will gain contentment in that circumstance. You see, committed people are contented people. When you wake up in the morning and you commit yourself to Jesus Christ and the work that He has called you to do that particular day, your heart is going to burn with a sense of adventure as you move out into that day. So Paul says to remain content, but he also says to get a right perspective on your circumstances. That is, learn to think of your circumstances in terms of God and not secondary causes. Don't think of your circumstances as luck, as the way things have just fallen out to you, but learn to think as God in the perspective as God being the prime mover. Here's what we usually do. We usually divide up our lives into two categories, into the bad things that happen to us and the good things that happen to us. All the good things are from God and we go happily along thanking and praising God, but the bad things just kind of slip in somewhere. And those things we discount as being from God's hand, and so we murmur and we complain about them, not realizing that He has given those as well. In my last congregation, one weekend, we had a tragic death. A husband was consumed in the flames of his own home. And having talked to his wife, she said, "I know that God has a plan in all of this." Relating even a most severe tragedy to God and His will. The hymn writer says, "Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessing on your head." When I was over in Scotland and used to scour the secondhand bookstores, I found a book one time, a commentary on the Psalms. But on the inside leaf, somebody had written this poem: "Trials must and will befall, but with humble faith to see, love inscribed upon them all, that is happiness to me." Get a right perspective on your circumstances. Remain where you are. Get a right perspective on your circumstances. And then thirdly and lastly, gain release from your concerns in life. Look at verse 32. And that is the pivotal, the most important, the thematic verse of the entire passage. "But I want you to be free from concern." Areas that hinder our freedom from worldly concerns are these. One is anxiety over our business. Another is anxiety over things, getting goods, being concerned about them. The more you set your heart on any particular possession, the less peace you're going to have in life. Learn to hold your possessions loosely. Back in the days when I was staying up watching late movies, there was a Western that came on one time, and sometimes I still do. And it was a funny plot. And what happened was, there was a wagon train moving along in the valley, and the Indians were moving alongside the wagon train, but hidden in the mountains, so that the people in the wagon train couldn't see them. And the chief told one of the braves, He said, what this maneuver is called is detached attachment. And what we need to learn in applying that in our own Christian lives is the same with regard to our possessions and with our goods. Sort of a detached attachment. To use them as though we didn't use them. That they do not own us, but we are simply using them in this life, realizing that one day they will pass away. But there is also an anxiety over people, and that is when we become bound to others by depending upon their approval. You see, in each case, our anxiety and our concern was caused by attaching too much importance to business, to our possessions, or to what other people say about us. And if we're going to experience God's contentment, we must gain release from those things. Finally, two ways that help us to gain that freedom. Practical suggestions. One, never try to anticipate the concerns that you're going to have. I mean, don't invent some anxiety about the future. I know what time it is. In fact, by my watch, it's 7:05. Now, I don't know what is going to happen to me at 8:32 tonight, or tomorrow at 12 o'clock. But I can be so preoccupied with the concern about my future and what is going to take place that I have blocked God's grace from ministering to me in my circumstance right now. And instead of experiencing God's peace and contentment and freedom from all the tensions that I know will come up sooner or later, I divest myself of those now because I'm so concerned about the future. There was a hamburger place in Cahaba Heights called the Red Rooster. And it had a little sign. It was run by Christians. And it had a sign on the counter and it said this: the tomorrow you were so much worried about yesterday is today. And here you are. You made it. Pinch yourself. It really wasn't so bad. After all, you're still breathing. You still have your relationships. You're here. Jesus said it another way in Matthew 6:34. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the tomorrow will take thought for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Make your ambition to live life simply and gently. I showed you a book a couple of weeks ago, and it was called Taming Tension. And it's the best book I think I have ever read on anxiety and tension. Now, I'm not kidding. I think I recommended it 2 weeks ago, and we still have that one copy left in the bookstore. Now, I know you're a tense people, and you're anxious, and you need this book. So I recommend it to you. If that one runs out, you ask for mine. I've already underlined all the good parts, so it'll be easy reading for you. It is really good. But one thing that Philip Keller said in that book about taming tension that I thought was perhaps the most profound thing of all, was this: learn to simplify your life. Simplify your life. Live gently, not in all of the hectivity that is going on in our lives. Live simply. And let me add to that, live by simple faith and trust in God. Remain content, get God's perspective, gain release from your concerns. Jesus said, the one thing that's needful for you is that you worship Him. Businessmen, do you make it a regular practice of your day to spend time in worshiping Jesus Christ? If you don't, then you have missed the boat altogether. Homemakers, students, young people, there is only one thing needful on a day-by-day, regular basis, and that is to spend time with Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge you tonight. Will you, as we pray, will you renew your commitment to Him? Will you ask God, Lord, help me to gain an undistracted devotion to You, to remain content, to begin to simplify my life, that I can do the one thing that's needful? Will you do that? Brother, sister, let's pray.